If you knew what your true yes was and what your true no was in all areas of your life, would you be able to choose faster and easier? What futures would those choices create? Everyone is capable of connecting to their bodies in a way to have more exuberant and joyful living now and in the future. Now, here is your host of Choosing a Different Future with Ceres.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo, and you're here with me on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And I have a special guest. If y'all have been checking out our previous Limitless Azúcar series, it's my mom, Zulma Verdejo Carrion. But in addition to being my mom, she's also the owner of Serene Fusion LLC, where she educates people on practical alternative health practices in her workshops, coaching, and classes around the world. And she empowers people, much like she did with us when we were growing up, to choose what will work for them and their unique body systems. Her page is serenefusion.com and also serenefusion.lifevantage.com. And this is our fourth installment. Hi, Ma. Welcome.
Hi.
I'm already jumping in because I know that we have so much we want to talk about. And we've been building this for 4 months since the last time you were on was 4 months ago. We've had to reschedule this discussion multiple times. And so I just want to acknowledge the listeners. Thank you for your patience with all of this. You know, as you know, our show is all about choosing something different beyond what's been projected and expected of us. And a lot of what we've discussed in other episodes of this call was how we were often told that we had to make everyone else's needs first and not our own. And when we asked questions together, we realized that it would create more for all of us, including you as listeners, if we could be really present and really way more regulated before we did this next series, this next segment of our Limitless Azúcar series. And part of why we rescheduled the last times was because we kept having family members pass away or family friends pass away. And instead of trying to squeeze it in and not really be present for our families and for our family friends at their funerals, at their wakes, while we're supporting them, while we're caring for ourselves as we're caring for them, we chose to reschedule. And so it's finally here. We're finally getting to continue this discussion on raising children with unique needs. The first two episodes on Limitless Azúcar were about worlds colliding and all these different ways that that's shown up in our lives. And then we started the discussion on raising children with unique needs. We talked about school and advocacy and your deliveries between the three of us, me being the oldest and my sister Sita and my brother Shaniel, and how for each of us it was very different. We've talked about miscarriages. We've talked about finding your voice in the midst of being a parent and not really having the models of how to navigate these things, because there was really nobody else that was handling this type of situation in our family before you were handling these types of situations.
Exactly.
And so to offset some of this, part of the things that we'd like to invite everybody to today is to check in with your bodies, see if this is the time to listen to this show. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to share some funny stories about all these different things that happened in our childhood. And we're also going to talk a little bit about how we've used some alternative medicine, how we've used interventions and treatments, energy work to smooth out a lot of the bumpy, friction, crispy, crunchy bits, like my mom likes to say, so that we could have more ease with choosing, with creating our lives, with connecting with our bodies. And we actually got some questions sent in, Ma, as well. So I'm really excited for us to address some of those too. One of the things that I'm curious about that we didn't get to as much is, well, how did you deal with the fact that you were like the first one that had all these children with special needs and special abilities when there was really nobody else that you could look to in your family as a guide, as a model? Like, how did you do that?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me again. I'm excited. And thank you for the support of everybody who has been tapping and calling and sending messages to you or to me. And it's been exciting. And nerve-wracking because I even have to relive things that I thought about, you know, I did it and what else, you know, it's okay. So how did I deal with that? Being the only one and having it twice, having two special needs twice. It was, first of all, praying. I used to pray a lot. I pray a lot still, and was raised Catholic. And that helped me a lot, especially with the first one, because that was the only tool that I had at that time. Then I went into meditation. I did a little bit of meditation. I would listen to meditations on radio, you know, on TV, you know, and anywhere that I could get a meditation and to try to relax. And I think that you got that from me, and a little bit of yoga. I remember you being little, imitating me. I was trying to do yoga at home because I couldn't go any other place. And the psychologist, I don't remember my family members going to a psychologist. Yeah, you know, I'm not crazy. So I was crazy enough to go to the psychologist, and he helped me. He gave me tools and strategies. On one of them, I can remember clearly, was let go. I was like, let go of what? Do you want me to get divorced? And I said, no, you have to learn to let go. And to let go of being a perfectionist. Mm. I will ask my kids to fold the towels, for example. If they didn't fold it my way, I will refold them, and take time for yourself. So I said, wow, how? Because my mom never took time for herself. She was always home. My grandma never took time. I never saw my mother, my grandmother, even with friends, going to visit friends. Mm. And that's so relaxing, you know, just having a friend to talk to. So everything was in the house. So I started exercising. He said, you know what, take small projects, start exercising. Don't go home from work, go and exercise. And I can't even see it right now. Me going, we were renting an apartment in Chicago, and there was a gym for women. And I would go.
What was it, like Women's World or something like that?
Something like that. It was like, I haven't seen it again. who knows? So I felt comfortable going there. And then I felt like being a better mom when I came back home and tackled all the things I had to do with doctors, appointments, homework. That was another one. And as you were growing up, I learned about Reiki. And I said, I was fascinated about Reiki. So I took Reiki until I became a Reiki master. I had been a Reiki master. And I taught my kids. Yeah. I started doing Reiki to everybody. I taught my mom, everybody that, you know, I got in contact with, a family that was open to learn. I did that. And then from there, I went to access bars, to shamanism. And every tool, every class that I took, it was like, I know what to do now in these situations with us. Because then from being little to being teenagers to being going out of the house, it be an empty nester. When you left, I thought I was going to die. Because we did so much together that I felt lost. So what do I do now? You helped me with so many different things. So I also opened a meetup group. Mm. I learned about meetup.com, and I opened a group, and I had people coming into the house. And that helped me be Zulma, not the mom, not the wife, but me. That me that was when I got married, before I got married, that me that I was able to read, to do things for myself, and nurture these new friends and new classes. And it wasn't only teaching, and it was amazing. You know, I was, you know, as you were leaving, you left. to college. I said, I gave more time to Sita and Shani. When Sita Mia left, I left, and I had time for Omar, and we call it Omar or Shani. And it was like, I'm present as a mom. I can say, Sita Mia, let's go and have dinner. So all those little things that I learned through the years brought me to more peace. It's like to be having a peaceful life. And when you left, my aunt used to say, Sulma, you can come home. You don't have to, so you don't feel lonely. And I was like, I'm not lonely. I'm okay. So that prepared me to be by myself and not to say, oh my God, I miss my kids. I don't know what to do. I started doing things since you were little. So I will have this moment in my life in which I could say, I'm not lonely. Hmm. I can do things and I can read. And by letting go, by letting go, Omar will be cleaning the toilet. Oh my God, he was amazing. That was letting go. By letting go, of folding the towels anywhere, any way that you could. It was like, oh, so what do I do now? But, you cook. All the kids cook at home. Everybody cooks. I'm not the only one cooking. So what do I do now? Oh, wait. I can read. Mm-hmm. I can crochet. I can do other things.
It sounds like you had multiple things that you did to care for yourself. It's not any one thing. And it evolved over the course of our lives, our development, as you were empowering us by having us do chores and have our own extracurricular activities and not you always being the one to pick up and drop off and things like that. You had the space for yourself. I'm curious with the meetup group, when you were doing that, what was that the purpose of that one? Like, what were you thinking when you created that meetup group? Because I totally forgot that you had created a meetup group.
So I did a meetup group for energy work. And the purpose was that as I was learning, I was energy work, shamanism. I met this person who spoke Spanish, this amazing man. And I said, do you speak Spanish? He said, yes. Because there was nobody who spoke Spanish. I said, I have to spread this to people who speak Spanish because everybody was in English. I met some monks that came and I was the only one, Rodrigo and I, we were the only ones who spoke Spanish. I was like, we had to tell people about these amazing things. Excuse me. And with Access was the same thing. I took Access. I was the only person who spoke Spanish. And I'm like, this is amazing. How can people know about it? So I started with a meetup. And the teachers from school, bilingual teachers were coming. I have people from India that, they spoke a different language. And I have everybody, even the people who spoke only English. But that's why I started it. I wanted to Hispanics to know.
And then I know that therapy has played a big role in our family. And I'm glad you brought that up because I think that we're only a pioneer for our family, but on top of that, there's still a lot of research and statistics that show that people of color, period, Asian, Latino, Black, they do not seek out therapy to the level that they really need. It's a lot of powering through, keeping it within the family, everything really private. And we've learned very clearly in our family that all the secrets that were being hidden, and how that wasn't beneficial for the secrets to be held and for us to not receive from other people outside of the family a different perspective, different things that we wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. And I remember us doing therapy sessions. Sometimes we would do it individually with a therapist and sometimes it'd be the whole family. Sometimes it was when you were trying to save your marriage with my dad, Papi, and with Jose. And we would try to have family sessions, all of us, and then it would be just the two of you and these different hodgepodge. And I remember that planted a lot of seeds of it doesn't have to all be together all the time or only be one person. Like that planted a seed for me of how I do my coaching programs now, where sometimes I work with the individuals and sometimes I work with a couple separately and then together or the family members and coordinate. And it's like, what's really going to work with this family? And I love that our therapist, rest in peace, our therapist that we had was able to adapt and didn't just make us go in a box of how he was going to treat us. He really was like, what, this is a unique family. There's different personalities here. There's different needs here. What's going to work for them? And then involved us in the process of choosing what was going to work versus just, all right, this is what I do. And you have to do this and put in the way I manage things. And I think that was really, really helpful. And I think that the things that we did with energy work afterwards that you also introduced us to, and we started exploring some other things even beyond what you introduced us to, was really, really helpful. There's some funny stories with some of the empowerment too. Like I remember there was a little bit of a resistance when you started trying to have us do things that initially we didn't want to do or we weren't used to doing. Do you remember any of those stories of like when we were like, hey, but wait a minute, what do you mean I have to do this now?
I remember about the access bars when I wanted you to take the bars. And it was, I have that point of view and that you were going to be good at it. And, well, I knew that you were going to be good at it. But the way that I came up was like, strong, said, take it, take it, take it, take it, yeah. Take it. And the more that I told you, it was like, I don't want to. And you were an adult at that time.
Yeah,
you know, you were out of the house.
20s, 30s already? Late 20s, early 30s? Yeah, but actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and take a break. And we're going to share that funny story about access bars in a moment and about some of these other things that we've dealt with over the course of our time. So everyone, you are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cities, with myself, Cities, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss Limitless Azúcar number 4, Raising Children with Unique Needs, with my special guest, Zulma Verdejo Carrion. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo. I'm Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today our show topic is Limitless Azúcar number 4, Raising Children with Unique Needs, with my special guest, Zulma Verdejo Carrion. And just so you know, our show is brought to you by Protandim's Tri-Synergizer. Take advantage of the important contribution from every Protandim supplement. You get comprehensive benefits, including support for healthy aging, optimal cellular energy, improved mental focus, and healthy longevity. It's a level of benefits that you can only get from teamwork. The Protandim family of products works by activating your body's pathways to enhance its own functions. They activate the production of antioxidants, mitochondria, and sirtuins, key components for overall long-term health. And so the result of this triple tier approach is our most powerful solution. And you can go and visit our episodes page or sirisrivas.lifevantage.com to explore more options and products. And I've been taking this product personally for over 5 years now. And this is another example of what we were talking about before the break. My mom introduced me to this product. She is a distributor of this and a consultant. And one of the things that really helped us in many things is this is yet adding another thing here, because a lot of the other options available to me were not working. We tried them. And so we had to keep trying other different things to make sure that we were adapting to what each of our bodies needed. And this has been a game changer for all of our family, which we're really, really grateful for. Now, before we went on break, we were about to share a story about how you were trying to introduce Access Bars, Access Consciousness, the bars to me. Yeah, I think it was back in 2014, if I remember correctly.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had just started dating Seth and Jessica. I was part of this poly triad, which we can talk about at some point.
Not yet. Like.
And you know, everybody, it was all transparent. Everybody knew that I had a girlfriend, I had a boyfriend. We were in this triangle together. We also dating people outside of that. And so it was a very busy summertime. There was a breakup. There was a couple different breakups. And then I continued to date Seth. And we started moving into you playing around with Access Bars. And you quickly started taking classes and were raving about it. And I was kind of hearing it as a little bit like white noise in the midst of all the intense dating that I was doing and fun adventures that I was having. And you had mentioned bars. And what did I tell you?
Well, let's start by saying that I took bars because one of my best teachers said, I'm teaching this class. I said, okay. You know, if Tamara Gold says take a class or offers a class, I'm taking it. So I didn't even know what it was about. I just read blah, 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 blah. That's what I understood. So I went there. I was going through a crazy divorce, my last one. And I got off the table. You could have hit me with a bat. I would have felt anything. It was so amazing. I came home. I was going crazy. And I came home so peacefully. And I said, you know what? I want, as I told you, other people to know about this. So now I'm saying, Siri, you have to take that class. Siri, you have to take that class. And you were like, no. The more that I was like, Siri, you have to take the class. I said, Ma.
Well, it's the whole thing that one of the things we've learned with that and so many other examples is pushing
does not work.
I mean, it doesn't work from the sense of like to actually have someone truly choose it. Invitation, like when you actually started, you know what, you can take it or leave it. This is what I've gotten from it. I'd love for you to be there and for us to like spend time in the class and enjoy it together. That really shifted it versus being like, you have to take it. You must. I was like, I'm busy. I'm working in the Chicago Public Schools. I'm dealing with the fallout of this breakup from this triad. I was feeling like I had just gotten some wiggle room and breathing room with a lot of my health. So I was like, do I really need this? Like, I've been already doing so much for my health. Something else. And then I also thought that it was about chocolate. Do you remember that?
I said, Mom, I can't eat chocolate. You know that. I said, no, it's not chocolate. And I think that I ran your bars. I think I gave you a session. If that wasn't that, was that what happened? I gave you a session or something. I don't remember. I remember you taking the class. It was one of my first classes. Everybody was laughing like crazy. Oh, yeah. It was like they were releasing and it was like, we couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, it was contagious. I remember my abs hurt so much because we laughed so hard. It's an 8-hour class with lunch breaks and all these different things. And I remember being like, if this is what Access Consciousness and Access Bars is, I'm here for it. Because I hadn't laughed that much in probably my entire life up until then. Now I've laughed a lot since then. But that really unlocked so, so much. And that was also when I realized that I really needed to prioritize laughter even more, because it really does let go of so much more than when you process things, when you cry, when you like are tentatively like, oh, here, I guess I'll let it go. Here it is. I guess I will. And it's like, no, just I mean, literally, we were like, our arms and legs were just like shaking. We were laughing so much, like the Muppets on Sesame Street.
And you know what? And it gives you tools for when things go crazy. When Omar was hit by a car, and they found this tumor the size of a grapefruit sitting on his heart. At that moment, instead of going, before I would start screaming and crying, hysterical, and I took a deep breath and I said, okay, what is right about this? What is right about this? This is one of the tools. And I cried, and then I said, okay, now, what can I do now?
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Budma, you were talking a little bit about your experiences with your first class and how we had so much fun laughing in the class. One of the other things, too, is it's interesting. Just even earlier this week, somebody was telling me, Ceres, my mother wasn't like your mother. And I've heard that a lot my whole life, especially now that we both have businesses and lives that are so public, you know, that we've traveled around the world. People are watching us on social media. Even if they don't comment or like or whatever, there's a lot of eyeballs on us. And it's those moments where they say, Ceres, my mother wasn't like your mother, or my mother isn't like your mother, that I'm already aware of. I'm already aware that you've been a very, very different mom. And I get one of the things that I'm curious about that I'd like to ask you is you didn't have a mom like the mom that you were. She was a great mom. She did the best that she could, but she definitely wasn't as inclusive as you are, as open to some of these alternative things, even though she had immense capacities with playing with and being aware of the unseen and the spirit world. So how did you start to be a different mom than the one that you had while still being grateful for the mom that you had? Like, not to judge her, because that's one of the things that I've been really impressed with you, was that you've never been like, oh, my mom was horrible with this. It was like, I wish she had done these things, or I wish she had known about this stuff. But other than that, I'm not really sure about your journey as to how you reconciled the fact that she was a very different mom with the mom that you wanted to be, or that you were moving toward becoming.
One of the things that I can tell you for sure is that as soon as I have daughters, I said, I'm going to expose them to everything that I can expose them, and not saying, no, because you are a girl, because you are a woman, you cannot do that. On the contrary, you can't, and you can't, and you can't. I was told all my life that my four brothers could do whatever they wanted to do, but I couldn't. I needed a chaperone to date. I couldn't go, you know, to X place because I needed a man to escort me, or it was too dark. It was too late at night. And I bought my own car. My brothers didn't buy their cars. They were given to them because they were basketball players. And I have two jobs. And I was studying full time and working full time. And as soon as I do have you, is that you're going to learn how to swim at an early age. My parents
drive, because a lot of the women in our family didn't know how to drive until, I mean, I think Abuela learned it, what, her 30s, 40s?
Yep. I think I was in high school when mommy started driving, and it took for her to be, she was getting a ride for people and for to be stood up, and she was waiting for the ride, and the ride said, oh, by the way, I'm not going to go to work today. And she will be crying until one day she said, I'm going to learn how to drive. But of all her siblings or her sisters, she's the only one that learned how to drive. Mm-hmm. And with you, as you know, you're going to go to camp, you know, or you're going to go and take dance classes and things like that. As even for with Omar, even he was hard of hearing, I said, you're going to go to camp. My brothers never went to camp, but I never went to camp. I wanted to, for the Girl Scouts. You can be a Girl Scout, but you cannot go to Girl Scout camp. And everything that I, as a physically handicapped child or child with special needs, like they want to be called, as I'm going to expose you to things that people might say that you can't do, that you really can. Mm-hmm. And with that, I learned the different modalities that were out of what I was, as it was expected. I followed that. Oh, that's interesting. Let me do it. Oh, that looks like cool. Let's try it. And the only thing that I could say, I didn't like it, but at least I tried it.
Yeah.
It was like,
well, I think that's the thing that you told us a lot with trying new foods, with going to new places. You were like, at least try it. Try it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But at least you can say you've tried it, but you might surprise you. And we are all love so many different foods now. And that was that sentiment, that idea of at least try it out. You can't hurt. You're not going to die from doing that, you know, trying this new food or going to this new place. Now I'm curious, we talked in previous Limitless Azúcar episodes of the moments where you are really concerned about Sita and Shani even living and living at all in a way that would work for them, because they had such tumultuous beginnings with surgeries and therapies and, you know, maybe not being able to breathe properly with my brother and not being able to walk properly with Sita, with my sister. So was there any moment where you feared for my life, where you were worried about me being able to live? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Yeah. When you were with your allergies, okay. You know, it came to a point that, you know, it went to like automatic pilot. Okay, Sidney has allergies. Okay, let's take her to the doctor. Allergies, let's take her to the doctor. But then one day I said, wait a second. She's been taking antibiotics back to back, like, you know, at least one, twice a month, and she's getting worse and worse. This can't continue happening. So I was very concerned. With your life, there was a time that you called me from university, said, Mom, I'm not feeling well. You were trying to, how was it? You know, like a suicide concern or something like that. You were not doing well.
Suicidal thoughts, yeah.
So then I started, because I knew your friends, I started calling, you know, oh gosh. The same.
Jason and Molly and all of them. Yeah, Woods.
I remember finding it to
be very intrusive at the time. I was like, I can't believe I can't just answer the phone for 5 minutes. My mom immediately, as soon as I didn't answer the phone, you were calling my roommate and then the person across the hall and these other things, like, where are CDs? And it was like, I felt like I was like being hunted down.
But and yet, at the same time,
before being suicidal, it felt intrusive.
Okay.
Because I was doing suicidal. Having fun in college, you know, living my life.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Convenience. Yeah. Like, why would you? But at the later on, when I was struggling so much and when I was, you know, really in a dark, dark place, I'm glad that you had my roommate's numbers and that you had all these people's numbers. I recommend to parents to have the close friends' numbers of your kids. Just don't overuse them like my mom did. She wouldn't even let me call her back. She wouldn't wait like an hour, y'all. She would, within like, if it wasn't within the first two rings, she would be already like, oh, so-and-so is being called. I was like, really? I'm at a party. Can I just be having fun at a party? And you're like, yes, just make sure to call me and answer the phone so I know that you're okay. I was like, could you assume that I'm okay? And so here's the thing that I loved about the energy work is we got to know a yes and no, and we could just tap into the energy instead of having to be so anxious. So I would say now, even for me, I've had moments where I was like, I don't know what's going on with Ma. Like what's, and I would be like, wait, actually, what do I know? And I would say, is she okay? And I would see if it was a yes or a no with my body. And a yes meaning yes, she's okay. A no meaning no, she's not okay. Versus yes being like positive or negative. Like, and or I could ask, is Ma dead? And if it was a yes, it's not that, yeah, Ma's dead. It would just be like, yes, she's dead. Yeah. It wasn't like, it's a, like, I'm happy about her, or it's a positive thing. And if I asked, is Ma dead? And I got a no, it wasn't that I was sad about it. It's just like, no, it's just very practical. And this use of yes and no for safety and security really helped, because there were so many people. We were all over the place. Shani was in New York. I was in another part of Illinois. You were somewhere else. Sita, I was doing her thing. And we could tap into the energy of each other and each other's bodies and be like, okay, we're good. Like we had that when we were living together in Savannah. I remember there'd be moments where you'd wake up and you're like, something's off, something's wrong. And you would check in energetically with everybody's bodies. And we'd be like, okay, this person's okay, this person's okay, this person's okay. So then who is it? What's going on? And then usually within the hour, certainly by the end of that day, we would find out what it was. Mm-hmm. So it was acknowledging that we've got that information and that it was that, and we could trust it. Because there were so many moments over and over and over again that we could trust it, that allowed us to have more calm with so many situations.
Even something as simple as, Siris, I think that Omar got a tattoo. Remember that day? I said, I think that Omar got a tattoo. And you were like, yes, it's light. He did. Where? And I'm like, on his back. And he has a tattoo.
Oh my gosh, is his whole, like a big, he's from one shoulder to the next, it says survivor on it. That was the first one. Now he's had a bunch of other tattoos since. And I remember you were calm about the information. You were not calm about his choice. But that's Shani too. Do you remember when he got, how you found out about his tongue piercing?
Mm-hmm. I remember. I was at a training, I think it was. I wasn't home. And then I asked Robert to pick him up. And when I came home, Robert said, go upstairs and look at what your son did. So going back, Sita Mia was in the car when they picked him up at the airport. And he showed her the tongue piercing. And she said, wait till mommy finds out. That's what I saw. But then I go upstairs. I don't know about the previous one. I go upstairs and he says, I say, honey, how are you? And he goes, and I said, okay, let me go downstairs. I went downstairs, I grabbed a knife. And I said, okay, now, how much do you pay for that one? And he says, I don't know, $60. I said, I can give you one for free. let me do one, a piercing for free. I said, no, mom. I said, hey, you're going to be an engineer, in studying engineering. What's going to happen when you go into the office and you start talking and then that thinking, and maybe now it's okay. We're talking about what, 20 years ago? And I'm like, what? I didn't send you to college for that. But then he got a tattoo.
Yeah, so many things. Tattoos, motorcycles, tongue piercings. And so this is actually gets beautifully into one of the questions that were sent in. It says, very simply, how did you handle your children rebelling? And I think there's an important distinction I'd like to make. Like, there's a difference between rebelling and self-expression or like self-discovery. And a lot of times in our childhood, I feel like because of how you were raised and how you were constantly aware when you grew up that anything you did wasn't just a reflection of you, but of your parents and of your whole family, and you were raised by the whole community. And so you had multiple parents, everyone had their eyes on you, everyone was raising you. There was a lot of pressure to conform and to be appropriate. That was the word that you used to use a lot. That's not appropriate. And I remember it drove me crazy when you would say, I would laugh in the food court at the mall and you would be like, Ceres, you're laughing too loud. That's not appropriate. And I was like, I'm happy. Who the hell cares? Who cares about these people? But that was your childhood. That was you were always having to think about that. Fast forward, your children were doing different things than you ever considered doing. And how do you feel about how you handled their rebelling or their self-expression? Or like, how did you frame it then? And how are you looking at it now?
I don't remember rebelling. You know, I remember episodes in which they did, you know, each one of you did different things. With Sita, for example, Sita Mia, I would say rebelling. Sita Mia was, she was her own person. She no was way. Like this sweet girl, but stubborn girl for yeah. homework. For example, I will do the homework with her. This is a way that you do it. But that teacher says, I'm a teacher too. And she will do it her own way, get low grades, and then be like, okay, like nothing. So I learned to let go, to let her fail. When Sita Mia graduated from high school, she was like a 1.0, you know,
GPA, anything.
Oh yeah, GPA. And they helped her graduate from high school. And the day of her graduation, I cried, but I didn't cry because I was happy. I was like, what am I going to do with this girl? Where she's going to, you know, where she's going to study? What's she going to do? So I let her fail.
You did and you didn't. I'm gonna point out something that you may not remember. And I think we mentioned, gosh, whatever that last episode was 4 months ago almost, where you let her feel the consequences of her actions. Like, let her play out. Okay, you chose this. This is how it plays out.
Exactly.
But you also were there waiting to be like, okay, now you got it. Now what would you like to do? And so you are still held her accountable to the high expectations of when you said, okay, we're going to still expect you to leave the home. You either go to
college
or you live on your apartment, no matter what. When you turn 18. And so that's not really letting her fail. That's being like, I believe in you, you got it. And even though you didn't graduate high school with the highest of grades, you're still an adult, you're still grown, you still get to decide moving forward what you're going to do with the rest of your life out of this house. So you helped her see some other possibilities that nobody else was still thinking that she could do. And I want to commend you for that, because working with the families that I work with, there's a lot of people that would have let her not having great grades stop you from being true to yourself as a parent. So let's come back to that a little bit. Let's take a break.
Okay.
The producer is saying it's time for a break. So let's take a break, y'all. Thank you for your patience with some of the tech today. I think we're moving a lot of energy, so I'm just going to acknowledge that. This is bringing up a lot in us and with you. So thank you for being spacious with us. Let's breathe. Let's expand as we're listening to some of this, because I think that part of what's powerful anytime me and you talk is we clear and move so much together within us. And I also know that we're picking up on stuff that it's moving around in other people's worlds as well. So let's take a break. You're listening to Choosing a Different Future with myself, Ceres, on the Inspired Choices Network.
And Solma.
Come back. We will continue to discuss Limitless Azúcar No. 4, Raising Children with Unique Needs with Solma Verdejo Carrion. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. Holy guacamole. I can't believe we're almost at the end of our show already. This is just blink of an eye when anytime we talk, right, Ma? Yep. So welcome back. We're here with Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, with myself, Ceres. And our topic for today has been Limitless Azúcar, number 4, Raising Children with Unique Needs, with my special guest, Zulma Verdejo Carrillo, my mom, business partner, travel companion, and more. And I don't want to have us part ways today before you know that she has an upcoming Access Bars class. She's an Access Bars facilitator, which is one of the amazing tools of Access Consciousness out of 8,000 tools of Access Consciousness. This is a really wonderful one. And it's a one-day class that is going to be this upcoming Sunday, and she's going to be creating classes beyond that this Sunday, August 6th. And it's, I believe, from 9 to 5, is it?
9 to 5.
Yeah.
And it's tailored to kids. You know, I would like to have more kids. And we are talking about strategies for kids and how Access Bars have helped me with my own children and other children that we know of. So continue. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I love that theme. You know, a lot of schools have already started this last week, the first week of August. Mm-hmm. And just picking up on the energy of that, there's been a lot of challenges with the beginning of the school year for some of the families that I am in contact with. And there's also been some smoother bits, so we'll see. It brings up a lot in people. And one of the things that I love about not just the Access Bars, but so many of the other Access Consciousness tools that people get to be exposed to in the Access Bars class is their kids can join the class for free with a paying adult. When I used to be an Access Bars facilitator, I had classes with kids in them, and they help move the energy so much. Even if they're just crawling on the ground, playing with their toys during the class, it's amazing. But there's kids that actually learn, like 5-year-olds that learn how to use this technique on themselves, on their parents, on their siblings. And I remember my brother, Shaniel, he would use this and have either run it on himself or have his girlfriend, when she took the class, run the Access Bars on him before a test. And that would help him have more ease with recalling the answers and the information, really knowing what he knew so that he could demonstrate it on these exams. And before having this tool, I remember he was really struggling with college and he always had to drop a class. He would have 4 classes, and then by the end of that trimester, he would be down to 3 and over and over again. And then after getting this tool and using it, because you can have a tool and then not use it, he was having a lot more ease with school, which is really, really good. So I'm really glad that you expose us to this and so many other things that has really benefited our lives. Now, before the break, we were talking a little bit too about rebelling versus self-expression. And so there was a little bit more that you wanted to say about that. What was that?
Oh, gosh, I forgot about it. But one of the things I can tell you is that I know that my kids' coin, you know how you call it, the currency. So I knew I would work. We were talking about Sita. So with Mia, I let go of that trying to control, you know, to fight with her with grades. She had projects that she has to do, and I would like to find out at the last minute. So she graduated from high school, and all my kids knew that there were 2 choices: either you go to college, or you go and then get a job. It can be a Burger King. You get a job, you pay rent at the house, or you have to go and get your own apartment. So when she graduated, I said, hey, this or that. And she went to college. Mm-hmm. There are colleges for kids with low scores. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So she did, and she came back home. And then from home, then she found an apartment. So so things started falling into place by doing that. That will be kind of Sita Mia being rebellious. And it was like it was she rebellious or what? That was who she was. So then when she, after she came from college, she was different.
Yeah. She was so more grateful for each of us as a family. She didn't argue with us as much. And it's not that arguing is a problem if you had a point, but she would just argue for argue's sake. She would lie for lying's sake. There was so much resistance and anger in her world. And I think one of the things that I love about our family is that we talk about all of the uncomfortable things, even if it is uncomfortable. And I had a conversation with her about how I really felt like she was always taking out her frustration and anger about the divorces and about what we experienced from our dad on us as siblings sometimes. And she acknowledged that sometimes she did. And I acknowledged that sometimes I did. And we've revisited that conversation over the years quite a bit, but that started right after college, right after she came back from college, softer and more open to having those conversations and acknowledging her part in it and trying to actually create a different relationship with each of us moving forward. And if you hadn't pushed her to go to college anyway and be like, you know what, you graduated, you're out, do you, we believe in you, come back when in whatever way you want to come back, but you can do this. I don't think she would have ever really saw her part in her life so much and been able to have those conversations with us. And it completely changed our relationship. I don't know if we would be as close as we are now and be able to hang out so easily if you hadn't had her go to college no matter what, or leave the house no matter what.
And so And that was a psychologist.
Mm.
The psychologist, you know, say, I know, but you know, that this can be happening. And maybe if I had a doubt that Siramia was able to do it, you know, by going to the psychologist, he gave me the strategies and knowing that, and that, you know, that can be possible. Because when you have a child with special needs, you say, no, but they can't, because they can't walk, or because of this, or because of
all
that.
All the things that they can't do, instead of what if you considered what they can do and actually found a way to get them to do it, be it the resources, the agencies, the therapies, the supports, the people. It's also about who were their friends that they were surrounding themselves with, too. Those models, that peer pressure, peer modeling, I think played a role a lot in all of our lives. And you would point out who we were hanging out with, but you wouldn't ever say, oh, you shouldn't hang out with this person or you can't hang out with that person, because you were smart enough to know if you did that, we would want to hang out with them more. But it did plant seeds. So then when someone would show their true colors in a different way that we were actually able to acknowledge, we were like, oh, that's what Ma was talking about. Oh, that's what she was pointing out.
Another thing is that I used to go to school. I would leave my school because I was a school teacher. And then and that time the schedule were different. So I would leave school and go to your high school, to Shani's high school, without letting you know. And then I would wait in the car and then I see who, you know, he's living with, red hair, tattoos, you know, that he was pushing somebody.
Then you ask questions, because one of the things I liked, as much as you were resistant to tattoos and piercings and all that stuff in your kids, you didn't let, if somebody had that, you didn't say, okay, that's all that they are. You actually found out who they were as a person, which I really appreciated. Now, unfortunately, we're running out of time. And I want to throw out to the listeners, we've had 4 episodes of Limitless Azúcar. Let us know if you'd like more or not. One of the things that I'm kind of wondering about that we haven't really gotten into is sex and dating and relationships and all the conversations we've had about that, and how we could add some more of that limitless azúcar, that sweetness, to people's lives potentially with that. So if that's something that you're interested in or something else, let us know. Next week's episode is going to be a third segment of listening to children's bodies and energies. And if you'd like to connect with us directly, go ahead and email me at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. We have upcoming events, upcoming awakening classes on August 19th. And November 4th in Chicago and in Ohio. But I really want to thank you, Ma, for being the mom that is so awesome and for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body. your own unique way honoring what will work for you. Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for